This is To Drive the Cold Winter Away by Viking Song, a BBC Merlin fanfic. It is rated for general audiences and no archive warnings apply. It features the relationships Merlin and Arthur Pendragon, Gwen and Merlin, and Gwen and Arthur and Merlin. Additional tags: married Gwen / Arthur Pendragon, golden age, Christmas, fluff, Yuletide, Arthur Pendragon knows about Merlin's magic, everyone knows about Merlin's magic, friendship, banter, and humor. Summary: a fluffy Yuletide slice of life from the dawn of Camelot's golden age. A cold snap has enveloped Camelot, but a heartwarming friendship and a dash of magic are the perfect combination to drive the cold winter away. Arthur strode down the corridor at a confident, kingly pace, with his fur-lined cloak sweeping majestically behind him. "I have many important royal things to accomplish to keep the kingdom running," he assured himself for the third time in as many minutes, after yet another knot of servants paused hanging Yule decorations long enough to cast amused glances at him as he passed. His brisk strides had absolutely nothing to do with the brutal cold snap or drafty council chambers, or promoting healthy circulation. "I can't afford to waste time, that's all." He especially couldn't afford to waste time hunting for his wayward court sorcerer, as Arthur intended to remind Merlin when he finally found him. Merlin had disappeared 3 hours ago, immediately after the council meeting. As Guinevere, the counselors, and the knights had all filed out of the Great Hall, Merlin too had made his escape, just before Lord Tennyson could entrap him in a well-worn argument. Lord Tennyson, thus deprived of his intended victim, had cornered Arthur instead, and delivered yet another inane, condescending monologue about how Arthur's liberal views on the reintroduction of magic were too idealistic, too optimistic, too whatever for Lord Tennyson's taste. Arthur had long since given up arguing with him. Lord insisted on willfully disregarding the fact that, when drafting the new laws, Arthur had thoroughly consulted Merlin, Gaius, Kilgara, and Mordred, not to mention a host of distinguished druid elders and several highly opinionated creatures of magic who turned out to be far less fictional than Arthur's childhood tutors had led him to believe. The Round Table had considered the evidence for and against the proposed set of well-balanced statutes and engaged in extensive discussions before approving the new legislation by a decisive majority a year ago. As far as Arthur was concerned, the issue was settled. Not that Lord Tennyson cares to acknowledge that. Rehashing a moot point while Arthur's toes had slowly gone numb inside his boots was not how Arthur had wanted to spend his afternoon. Once Arthur had listened long enough to avoid completely spurning a politically influential member of his father's old guard, he made his excuses and swiftly returned to his chambers. Merlin hadn't been there. Neither had Guinevere. They weren't in any of their usual haunts, either. Arthur had spent the past hour checking them one by one. It was possible that Guinevere might have gone to visit friends in the lower town. She was the queen and could do as she pleased. Merlin, however, had no excuse not to be where Arthur needed him to be. And no, Merlin, declaring, "I'm Emrys, I can do what I want," isn't a valid excuse. Arthur sighed and turned another corner. This hallway was empty, conveniently allowing him to increase his pace without risk of bowling anyone over. Walking faster means finding Merlin sooner. That's the only reason. The fact that he could almost feel his toes again was entirely unrelated. He ran through his mental map of the places Merlin and Guinevere might be. He checked Merlin's chambers, the infirmary, the vaults, the library, the smaller council chambers, and the cavern under the castle. He'd inquired with the stable hands, the cook, and the royal tailor. The guards at the gatehouse solemnly swore that neither the queen nor the court sorcerer had passed by, so Merlin and Guinevere had to be somewhere in the castle. Unless Merlin's mastered the teleportation spell he's been working on. Arthur couldn't rule it out, but it seemed unlikely. Just yesterday, Merlin had attempted to send a test object from one side of Arthur's chambers to the other. While Arthur appreciated that Merlin wanted to share his progress, Arthur would have appreciated it more if the test object hadn't been a gingerbread biscuit snagged from Arthur's plate just as he'd been reaching for it. Only half a biscuit's worth of crumbs had successfully arrived at the intended destination, leaving both Merlin and Arthur disappointed and biscuitless. Given that recent failure, Arthur was certain Merlin wouldn't try the unproven spell on Guinevere, not even if she asked very nicely in the very sincere tone that Merlin, and Arthur, and nearly every ally in the Five Kingdoms, to be honest, couldn't refuse. Whether Merlin would try the spell on himself at this stage was much less certain. Merlin might have finally learned his lesson after last month's transmutation incident, but Merlin's short-term memory was worryingly spotty when it came to his own safety. If he's gone and split himself into a dozen pieces with some harebrained spell, I'll... Arthur wasn't sure what he'd do about that, exactly. That would be Mordred's problem to fix. It seemed that a large fraction of Mordred's apprenticeship consisted of saving Merlin from himself. But Arthur was very sure about what he'd say to Merlin once Mordred managed to unsplit Merlin. Arthur would cast several well-deserved aspersions on Merlin's mental faculties, and then... A sudden spring breeze distracted him. Arthur stopped abruptly in the middle of the hall. There shouldn't be a fresh breeze, spring-like or otherwise, in this windowless corridor. He backed up three strides to where he'd felt it, and he couldn't help the wistful sigh that escaped as the warmth washed over him again. It smelled of sunlight and fresh flowers as it swirled up from the gap beneath the bottom of an unassuming door. Arthur eyed it with the deepest suspicion. Then he heard laughter. Very familiar laughter from within. Rolling his eyes, he opened the door. Arthur blinked, hand still on the latch. What? His wife and his best friend were lying on the stone floor, propped up on their elbows and gazing up at the ceiling, with a bottle of wine and two goblets between them. That wasn't what captured Arthur's attention, though. The ceiling was blooming. Literally, actually blooming. Like an upside-down garden. Gillyflower stems hung from the rafters, decking the small storage room in Gwen's favorite shades of purple. Arthur cleared his throat. Those are the strangest Yule boughs I've ever seen, he announced. Merlin startled, nearly upending his goblet. Gwen sat up and beamed at Arthur. Join us? Arthur smiled as he shut the door behind him. So this is where my court sorcerer ran off to, leaving me at the tender mercies of Lord Tennyson. Merlin rubbed the back of his neck. Was it that bad? Arthur snorted and plopped down, facing them. Worse than usual, he flexed his fingers experimentally. Is there a spell to cure frostbite? Merlin rolled his eyes, conjured another goblet, filled it, and passed it to Arthur. Arthur took a sip and raised an eyebrow. Gillyflower wine? Gwen nodded. It's lovely, isn't it? Arthur frowned. Didn't we use up the last bit before Samhain? He turned to Merlin and raised an eyebrow. Have you been holding out on me? Merlin gasped. You wound me, sire. I would never. The corner of his mouth turned up in a proud little smile. The sommelier was throwing out a case of red wine with damaged corks this morning. The whole lot had gone to vinegar, so I just... repurposed it. Arthur took another appreciative sip. Not bad. Definitely an improvement over your last transmutation attempt. Oi! The transmutation incident was bad, even for you. Magic is an art, Merlin sniffed. It's far more complicated than whacking people over the head with a pointy stick all day. Not that you have enough wits left to see that. Clearly the wine has robbed you of yours. Merlin grinned. Turned out well enough, though, didn't it? The royal sommelier is lucky you have far too many other responsibilities to pose a serious threat to his job. Merlin raised an eyebrow. Are you feeling well, my lord? First you compliment me, and then you acknowledge that I'm overworked? What's next? A day off? I gave you a day off. Could you do something about this blasted cold snap? Gwen hummed. Merlin, do you think you could extend your spring spell to cover the Great Hall during council sessions? It really is quite cozy in here. Merlin chewed his lip. Probably? This is the first time I've tried to extend it to a whole room. Wait, Arthur said slowly. You mean to tell me that you've been sitting at the round table, secretly toasty, while you let the rest of us slowly freeze to death? Arthur cuffed him lightly upside the head. I ought to send you to the stocks. Merlin snorted. You can't. Arthur cut him off. I know, he said, rolling his eyes and setting down his goblet. I don't care that you're the greatest warlock ever to walk the earth. I can and will put you in the stocks if you leave me to shiver through another one of Lord Tennyson's rants. Merlin grinned. I'd like to see you try. Arthur was pleased to discover that, greatest warlock or not, he could still put Merlin in a headlock with ease.